Sure. All right. Good morning. Okay. So let's begin in a word of prayer as we'll go to Article 13, main point 3 and 4 this morning. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you would give us the opportunity to come this morning to think on you, to think on the work of your Son, to think of the work of the Holy Spirit, that we would sit here as ones not worthy of any of your love, and yet we get to discuss and read about the absolute truth of what you've done in Jesus Christ for sin and for our sin in particular. And so I pray that would give us great rejoicing this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Don't open your books, class. I see you. Don't open your books. Don't look at anything. We'll start this way. What does regeneration mean? What is the definition of regeneration? Anybody? Anyone? Anyone? Regeneration. It's a word that we've been studying for the last couple of weeks, so we probably should have a good definition of what it means. Make alive. Born again. Great.
In science, it's to make
anew. To make anew. I love that. To make anew. Rebirth. Right? All those. Good. So we need to have a good idea of regeneration. So if someone is regenerate, what are they?
Born again.
You ever been called, you degenerate? You ever called that? You ever call someone, they are a degenerate? What's that mean? What's a degenerate? Could be. Yeah. Reprobate. What else? Someone who's wicked, right? Vile, wicked, vicious. All right. So if we know the one, we should know what the opposite is, the degenerate. In Christ, are we degenerates? In Christ, are we degenerate? No. No. Apart from Christ, we are. Right? So, all right. Still don't open your books. We need to know what this word means as well. What does, and it's kind of funny that I'm asking this, what does incomprehensible mean? Pardon the pun. what does incomprehensible mean? Don't give me the word and the definition, Michelle. Yeah, Michelle, you cannot comprehend. No, what does it mean, incomprehensible? What does it mean? Cannot be understood. Cannot be understood. And I was talking to Anthony about this. I was talking to Doreen yesterday about this. Because the title of the article today is The Incomprehensible Way of Regeneration. The Incomprehensible Way of Regeneration. So by the nature of the word incomprehensible, while there are aspects that are, or all of it, that's incomprehensible to us, and we'll get to that in a second, by nature it has to be comprehensible to one. Okay? For it to be incomprehensible, it must be comprehensible to one. And in this case, we're talking about God, that it has to be comprehensible, it has to be understandable and knowable to God. Let me give an example in the real world. Like if I walk into somewhere in Egypt and I see hieroglyphics on the wall, it's probably not comprehensible to me at all. I have no idea what those shapes and symbols mean to the person who sketched them or etched them into the stone. It was very comprehensible, okay? But this, the way of regeneration, is incomprehensible. What do we know about regeneration? And again, I don't want you to open your books. Don't open your books. What do we know? Because there are things that we can comprehend. This one today says the incomprehensible way, so there's stuff that we don't understand. But what do we know about regeneration? It's a work of God. Amen. Work of God. Probably the most important thing to know about regeneration. It's a work of God. What else? Which new creature. You are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Right? What else? Well, it precedes faith. Okay. Precedes faith. So we are made into a new creation that now has the ability to believe, repent, and believe. Okay. What else? To believe specifically in Christ. Outstanding. It is not something we do. It is wholly an act of God. Thank you for bringing us back to the confession. Well done. It's supernatural. It's supernatural. It's not a natural thing. What's not natural? What were you in your trespasses and sins? Dead. Is it natural to raise the dead? No. If you guys want to come up, feel free. I'm sorry, I'm just kind of like standing by your seat here. I'll keep standing here just to make you feel very uncomfortable. So that's not natural. That's supernatural to raise the dead. That's not something that's natural that we walk around every day. Hey, dead person. Oh, here they go. They're raised. It's a new life. That's supernatural. Is it physical or spiritual, this regeneration? Spiritual now. Now. Will it be physical one day? Good. What is that big church word called? Glorification. Very good. Okay. So you know a lot about regeneration, right? You do. And we still haven't even scratched the surface about regeneration. Now let's go to, now you can open your books. We're going to Article 13 in main point 3.4. In my book, it's at the bottom, and it's probably one of the shortest written ones in the Canons of Dort. It's Article 13 called The Incomprehensible Way of Regeneration. Article 13. In this life, believers cannot fully understand the way this work occurs. Okay. What work? Regeneration. Good. And the regeneration that we talked about in Article 12, specifically the new creation, the raising from the dead, first sentence, and the making alive so clearly proclaimed in the scriptures, jump down after as a result. All those in whose hearts God works in this marvelous way are certainly unfailingly, effectively reborn and do actively believe, and then the will now renewed is not only activated and motivated by God, but in being activated by God is also itself active. For this reason, people themselves, by that grace which they have received, are also rightly said to believe and repent. So we've got the regeneration and the effects of the regeneration. And now, in this life, believers cannot fully understand the way this work occurs. Meanwhile, they rest content with knowing and experiencing that, by this grace of God, they do believe with the heart and love their Savior. So what we have is, we have things that we can comprehend. We can comprehend the who of regeneration. Who is the who of regeneration? First, God, and then us. So we know who the who is. And what do we know about God? What do we know about God? Just throw it out. God's what? Sovereign. Holy. Perfect in all of his attributes. Holding them all perfect. What else about God? Cannot sin. Outstanding. What else? What else we know about God? He's good. He's good. Is he, what's that? Ever changing. Very good. That big word is immutable. Good job. Unchanging. What else? Is he mean? He's kind. He's loving. Is he unjust? No, he's perfectly just. He's perfectly just. What? Forgiving. Amen to that. Okay, good. So here's God. We know about God. Again, not even scratching the surface. What do we know about man? In his natural state, wicked, thinks manly things, which are definitely going to be sinful. What's our desire? Sin. Our desire is sin. Whatever we want. Right? And it's not God. It's not God. Right? So we have the two greatest commandments. In our catechism, it says, two greatest commandments. The first one is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. We hate those and don't do them. We naturally hate God and hate our neighbor. That's who man is by nature. Because we are born from the seed of who? Adam. We need a rebirth where we are not born from the seed of man. But we need a spiritual rebirth, where now we are born. Who grants us this new birth? Conversion is the work of which part of the Trinity? Now, obviously, all of God here, but specifically the Holy Spirit. So that we are now not of the seed of Adam. We now have a new nature. We have the Holy Spirit residing in us, pointing us to the work of Christ, and it's only because of that work. Right? So this is the who of regeneration. And then we talked a little bit about the what, but let's go to Ezekiel 36. Sorry about that on the recording. Ezekiel 36, verse 26. Actually, we'll start in verse 25. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses and from all your idols. I will cleanse you. Verse 26, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Regeneration. Go to John 3. We see some similar language here in John 3. Verse 3, Jesus answered Nicodemus, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, bless you, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. So we have the what here. What is it that we're doing? What is it that the Holy Spirit is doing in regeneration, specifically in Ezekiel 36, what is the Holy Spirit doing? Good. Giving us a new heart. Giving us a new heart. Taking out the heart of stone, putting in a heart of flesh. Causing us to want to walk in the way of the Lord. Giving us new desires. We would say, and as our confession would say, really, overriding our sinful will, giving us a new will. Say, no, that's not what you want anymore. I'm giving you a new desire, which is me. Okay, this is regeneration. This is the what of regeneration. And as we have this regeneration, we have the gift now of faith and repentance. Okay? Any questions of this? Any comments before I get into one other thing here? So we've talked about the who of regeneration. These are things that we can know, because I want to make sure we understand the comprehensible things of regeneration, because today's article is about the incomprehensible thing of regeneration. There's something that we can't know, but there is something that we do know. We know who it's about, who it deals with, God and us. We know what is happening in regeneration. We're being made anew. We're being born again. New heart. With the new heart comes new desires. Holy Spirit dwells in us. This work is the work, the conversion is the work of the Holy Spirit because of God's electing love. So now I want to read this prayer from the Valley of Vision, and I'm going to tell you right up front that I'm going to criticize the Puritans. Okay, so if you want to tackle me, I know, Stephen. He's going to get in a three-point stance and say hike, and he's just going to knock me over. And I hope you'll understand why. Nothing in here is wrong. Nothing in here is wrong. I just believe it's incomplete. Okay, so there's actually a prayer in this Valley of Vision titled Regeneration. O God of the highest heaven, and by the way, we sing a song that was taken from this. Occupy the throne of my heart. Take full possession and reign supreme. Lay low every rebel lust. Let no vile passion resist thy holy war. Manifest thy mighty power and make me thine forever. That's a great supplication to the Lord, right? Please, do this. Do this. Thou art worthy to be praised with my every breath, loved with my every faculty of soul, served with my every act of life. Thou hast loved me, espoused me, received me, purchased, washed, favored, clothed, adorned me when I was worthless, vile, soil, polluted. I was dead in iniquities, having no eyes to see thee, no ears to hear thee, no taste to relish thy joys, no intelligence to know thee. But thy spirit has quickened me, has brought me into a new world as a new creature, has given me spiritual perception, has opened to me thy word as light, guide, solace, and joy. Thy presence is to me a treasure of unending peace. No provocation can part me from thy sympathy, for thou hast drawn me with cords of love and dost forgive me daily, hourly. Oh, help me then to walk worthy of thy love, of my hopes and my vocation. Keep me, for I cannot keep myself. Protect me, that no evil befall me. Let me lay aside every sin admired of many. Help me to walk by thy side, lean on thy arm, hold converse with thee, that henceforth I may be salt of the earth and a blessing to all. We can all amen that prayer. We should be able to. And we sing that prayer. O great God of highest heaven, occupy my lowly heart. Own it all, reign supreme, conquer every rebel power. Let no vice or sin remain that resists your holy war. You have loved and purchased me. Make me yours forevermore. Right? We sing this in that first verse. There's something missing, though. There's something missing from this. Anybody pick out what's missing from this? Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is listed in this, but thy spirit has quickened me. So he did say that. Amen and amen, Elder John Kelly. Listen. There you go. Listen, here is my criticism of this. And this is what I think is lacking. Regeneration must be tied to the work of Christ. When you are speaking of regeneration, if we only talk about a new creation, the Holy Spirit has given me a new heart. I'm a new creation. You may as well just say, I'm enlightened. I see things a little differently now. We sound like the world. I'm a new creation because I was dead in my sin. And Christ died for that sin and purchased me, redeemed me from the curse, loved me. I'm now justified by his blood. The Holy Spirit is not regenerating me apart from that work, because the Holy Spirit's role is to exalt Christ. So when we speak of regeneration, please, let's speak of the work of Christ as the basis of regeneration, because there is no regeneration apart from the work of Christ. The Holy Spirit is not going to regenerate someone and say, okay, by the way, there's this other part of me, Christ. If you want to look at him, you can. But, you know, you decide. By the way, that's what this is written against. Right? Yes.
It's interesting because I think we think about the Holy Spirit is one doing this work, but it's founded only upon the Lord Christ, you know, today's sermon is very pointed at that because Christ is the object of our faith. That's what we're looking. That's what John is picking up on, is that that's what we're looking. The Holy Spirit is the one who's working in this, but it's all based upon the ultimate atoning work of Christ.
Yes.
The object of our faith.
Amen. We can comprehend this. We should know this about regeneration. Okay, so if we're talking about the comprehensible parts of regeneration, bless you, this is what we know. We know the who. We know the what. We know who it's based in, Christ and his work. Now, in our remaining 3 minutes, let's go to what we don't know. And here it is, the how. How's this happen? How's this happen? Jesus is really clear. He gives the best object lesson you could possibly have. If you're in John 3 still, go to verse 8. So this is what we don't understand. We don't understand the how. How does this happen? How does the Holy Spirit reach in and take out my heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh? How are my desires changed? Like, what's exactly happening here? Well, as Stephen told us last week, it's mysterious. And as our catechism says, it's incomprehensible. Verse 8, here's our object lesson. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who's born of the Spirit. Can you see the wind? Can you see the wind? You can see the effects of the wind. I saw the effects of the wind at Gloucester County Christian School the other day. You remember the wind we had like 2.5 weeks ago or maybe 2 weeks ago? That incredible wind? It took a dugout, a baseball dugout, and flipped it on its back. I saw the effects of the wind. It was incredible. I drove there. I looked at the baseball field. What in the world? The wind just blew it right over. You can see the effects of the wind when you look up at the trees and see the leaves just blowing a little bit. Right? You see the effects of the wind, but can you see the wind? You can't see the wind. So, do you know where it began? Do you know where that wind started? Do you know how it started? I mean, we might be able to give some scientific explanation to it, but do we really know? I mean, do we really, really know? No, we don't. We know more of the effects, which is to our last point. We can't comprehend how this happens. We don't know. It's incomprehensible to us how the Holy Spirit regenerates us. We do know what the Holy Spirit does, why the Holy Spirit does it, why God does this. By the way, why are we regenerated? What is the purpose of our regeneration? To proclaim the excellencies of him who brought us out of darkness into the marvelous light of his Son, right? So that God receives all the glory and honor. Yeah. And so now, this mysterious work, this incomprehensible way of regeneration, there is an effect. We don't understand how it works. However, through the gift of faith, we rest content with knowing and experiencing that by this grace of God, we do believe with the heart and love our Savior. Change some pronouns there. We rest. Due to this regeneration, even though we don't know how it happened, we do know a lot about it. And what we do know, most importantly, that it's based in the work of Christ. And because it's based in the work of Christ, we can rest. Because I can't do what he did, and he did it for me. And so I rest content, knowing and experiencing that by this grace of God, I believe that with my heart, that he's my Savior. I believe that. So I'm always thinking as I try to do this, like, okay, what does this matter? You know, because I don't want any of this just to be hard, cold, dead facts. We talk about regeneration. Is it just an in-house conversation? Like, we're just having this in-church conversation here, and the only people that ever talk about this word regeneration would be us, and then, you know, we're doing it just so we can sound intelligent. I don't know. I don't want it to be that way. I want you to have the joy of understanding regeneration. The who of regeneration. It's a work of God, not of us. Total work of God. Conversion is His work, not ours. The what? We've been made anew. We've been granted new birth. We're not who we once were. We're a new creation with new desires. Based in the work solely of Christ who died for my sin, my trespasses. His work is what I cling to. And it's only because of that work that the Holy Spirit grants me this new life and faith to believe in that. And then I don't understand how it worked. I don't get all the ins and outs of how it actually happened, but I believe it did. And I'm going to rest that it did, and it's for me. If we thought about this every day, if I got up in the morning and actually thought about this, you know how much better my 2 minutes after that would be? Now, the third minute, I'd probably be back needing to think about it again. But this is life. This is the good news, right? This is the gospel. You're not who you were. You're not who you were. You're new, and you can't change that. And this grace is irresistible. This regeneration, you can't stop it. You can't say, I don't want that new birth. Mm-mm. Dead people aren't going to say that. They're just going to come to life when God does that supernatural work through the work of the Holy Spirit. Questions? Anything? All right. Let's pray. Lord, I praise you and thank you for this work that only you could do. And I do pray for us that these words that we're talking about, regeneration, conversion, justification, they wouldn't just be church words, but they would be so dear to us because they're life itself. You have converted us. We're not who we were. And this is solely your act. You've provided a sacrifice for our sins to justify us, and we cling to that. So now that we can be righteous based in the righteousness of your Son. Lord, help us to see this and get joy from this. Lord, I pray for myself that I would do what I'm saying now. Because I confess that I have not done this. And I know my brothers and sisters have not done it as well or as much as we should. We don't think on you like we should. And we rob ourselves of joy. Lord, help us to gain joy. Give us the desire by your Holy Spirit to seek you and to see Christ. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.